Hi, Jerry Williams, event manager, Weston Pittsburgh.
Dominica DeSantis, housekeeping manager, Weston Pittsburgh.
Pamela Baum, director of revenue, Weston Pittsburgh.
We miss you guys so much, and we can't wait to have you back in 2022.
Hello, everyone. This is Barris from Furryland right here. We miss you so much. We can't wait to have you at 2022. This year was crazy, we know, but we got a party next year harder than ever. I love you all. I miss you all. Come back here.
Hello and welcome to AnthroCon Online. It is my pleasure and honor to present to you the three-headed monster. Today, joining myself, Alkali Bismuth, is Zandy the Blue. And our good friend, the Boozy Badger, the
Hello.
Boozy Barrister.
Yeah, it's about fucking every time, the Boozy Barrister. You called me the Boozy Bannister once.
Excuse me, because your law degree was stepped up every once in a while. I was actually trying to think of a 12-step joke quickly, and it didn't come through.
He must have caught you waxing off, you know?
Every time.
Yeah.
Somehow it doesn't surprise me that you always fail the 12 steps.
I make it to, like, 6.
Admit you have a problem. Done.
He doesn't do the 12 steps.
Made progress on that problem. No.
I made progress on the bottle I brought in here. You need to leave, sir.
Thank you for joining us all on this very nice dusk summer night.
I love filming at night. It is so cool.
Nice and cool.
Thank God we have these lights. I wouldn't see a thing.
Oh, and global warming, which causes the sun to come out during the day. Stop throwing things in the ocean. This is what you did.
We have angered the gods.
Saruman is pissed.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's just like, it's so bright. My future's so bright, I wear shades.
Apparently. It is kind of funny.
It's like sunglasses night was just hanging there, and you went, no, I'm going to go for the other one.
It has nothing to do with it, that the sun's going to burn my retinas and my poor... fucked up eyes.
Oh yeah, this is the middle of the night, so we can swear that's true.
Oh yeah, it's true. Nighttime. It's like, yeah.
It's
totally.
I enjoy filming at night because it's cooler at night, and I enjoy colder weather. And as you can tell right now, because like only a psychopath would wear all black sitting in the middle of the afternoon sun blaring down on them like the eye.
I feel so sorry for you.
Oh, thanks. That's not the first time you said that to me today.
No, I'm starting
to worry about our relationship.
I'm fine. I'm cooler. Ever since I started transitioning, I'm even colder now. And y'all are like just puddles of sweat. I'm so sorry.
I mean, these things happen.
Yeah, but we'll see who's laughing in January when the walruses are thriving and you're frozen to death.
We have to solve this problem because, like, at night, he's sweating of a storm. And it's like, we need a bed of ice and fire. Okay, we need George R.R. Martin's Bed of Ice and Fire.
Listen. Because... You know, here's the theory, because I run into this with my partner as well.
All right.
And here's the theory. I can turn the AC down to whatever I want, because you can put clothing on.
Yes!
But unless we're doing some Cenobite bullshit, my skin doesn't come off.
You cannot bundle up the extremities. It does not work that way. It's just not...
Mummies do it.
They're dead.
Be more like a mummy. You have a mom weed shirt, now it's mummy weed.
What, you want me to wrap it up?
If you're careful, we're going to start a new kink.
Look, this is what it comes down to. We're into different seasons. You like the summer. You like the spring. We're winter. Your favorite holiday? I don't know. Sweat your ball off day. We're more Christmas people. Like, you enjoy Christmas, right, Boozy?
I have kids. Christmas is hell.
Oh, right. There's got to be something like, good about Christmas.
I have opinions about... holidays where you're supposed to lie to your children. Like the Easter Bunny is like a fairly innocuous lie, but think about the other ones. Think about like the Tooth Fairy. We are teaching our children that it is okay for a stranger to break into your house in the middle of the night and take away parts of your body as long as they leave you money.
I want to know. Okay.
The concept of Santa Claus should terrify us. Why on God's green earth are we taking impressionable young children and telling them that if a large stranger with a white beard offers them things to be good for him, they should take the deal? I grew up on stranger danger, and we're just like, if Santa's coming, yeah, Santa's coming, but that's not Santa. And I have a young child. Like, right now, my youngest child is 5 years old, and he believes in Santa. He loves the Santa thing. Every Christmas, he gets so excited about Santa. It's magical. You don't want to take that away from them, right? So you take them to go see, you know, faux Santa. The mall Santa. Like, and make sure it's at a mall, because like there's some sketchy place like Santa will be here on Sunday to meet your family, and you're like, thank you, drug recovery center. However, so you gotta pick the Santa carefully. Mall Santas are normally okay. Except we live near the King of Prussia Mall. And the King of Prussia Mall is gigantic. It is a huge mall. So we took him last year to the King of Prussia Mall to see Santa, right? We go in, we're on one side of the mall, we take the kid to see Santa. He sits down on Santa's lap. He tells Santa what he wants. We take him and we walk around the mall, right? We walk to the other half of the mall. It's like a 2 mile walk. We walk to the other half of the mall, and there on the other half of the mall is another Santa. What moron said, you know what's a good idea in our mall? Existentialist crises for children. Let's have them go in. If they go in the east entrance, they'll see Santa 1. Then when they get to the west entrance, they can see Santa 2. And maybe it's not a problem. Like, maybe you can get away with that. Like, oh, no, Santa magically came over here. But, you know, the kid's sitting there like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, no, I got a good look at the Santa on the other side. And his suit was a little redder. His beard was a little longer. I'm pretty sure that one was white. What type of shit are you trying to pull? Look, I don't want to dash my child's dreams at 5. As a parent, I'm not supposed to do that until they tell me they want to go to art school. So...
Art yes. school.
What about art school?
I appreciate this.
Look, I'm saying is put some thought into it. Okay. I don't want to take a 5-year-old to the mall to ask for a Thomas the Trank Engine set. Trank Engine. Thomas the Trank
Hold
Engine.
Hold on now, you good parent.
I definitely want to give my child a Thomas the Trank Engine set.
Holy crap.
Thomas the Trank Engine
says, settle down, kids.
I think you can go to bed. I think you can go to bed.
On the way home, having him ask questions like, Daddy, is any of this real, or are we just the dream of a sleeping lizard in space? I mean,
wow, that got crazy. I just, for you, Boozy, I want to see those two Santas meet you in the hallway and be, play with us, Boozy, forever and ever and ever.
You gotta wonder, like, what if it was real? What if it was like, oh no, he magicked himself over here, and then the two Santas meet, and like, they touch each other, and they meld into just a Christmas blob that chases children? Holy shit, I just described the Santa from the drug recovery center.
Shit.
Wow, he has the rosiest cheeks. Yeah, move away from him, son.
No, that's not Christmas cheer. That's Mad Dog.
The Santas can't touch, or else time will expand.
The Santas can't touch.
Yeah.
Traumatized children disagree.
Oh, boy.
The funniest part of this is, much like when I got on main stage and did this the first time, the con chair is watching this, and much like every other time, he can't come up and take the mic away from me. It goes downhill from here, Sam.
Oh, God, he stood up. Quick, change the topic.
So.
I'm sorry. Anyway.
Very good. Very smooth.
Thank you.
All right. So, most of y'all know I'm not much of a storyteller anyway,
but anyway.
And I'm not as much of a storyteller, but we've been all through a lot has changed, a lot has happened over the last couple of years. One thing that I, obviously, lots of bad things happened from the pandemic. One thing that happened was interesting was, before the pandemic happened, we at the Dragon Show wanted to expand our merchandise because, you know, we're going to hit up a lot of cons. Oh, boy, in person. We're really going to hit a lot of cons in person, right, out there?
We're
going to hit so many cons
in
person.
We have 13 cons planned. You better be ready.
You should design another T-shirt.
Yeah, we should.
So I did. And I designed another T-shirt because, I hit our Dragon Show shirt here. It's very nice. But, you know, we want some cute furry shirts. So I'm like, okay, I'll do something. I have a cute design with a red panda. I'm like, this is going to be great. And I made this design, and it didn't age too well for after the pandemic happened. You will understand why.
Give me your mic.
Yep. No.
Take your shirt.
It says, I do what I want. You do not want to walk into a grocery store during a pandemic with I do what I want on your shirt. No. Asterisk, within reason, I do what I want.
I do not just do what I want, okay? We can produce a new shirt.
No, we can't.
With an asterisk.
You do not have a machine that can asterisk all the shirts, okay?
I have paint.
Okay, this would be like if I had printed a machine before the Titanic. It would be like, Titanic, unsinkable. It is like the same thing. You can't just put in an asterisk under there within our hearts. You can't do that. No.
I mean, I think you can.
I mean, you can. Not for 20 years or something. Otherwise, you're just an asshole.
It's been 110 years. You can add the asterisks now.
It has now. It's a hypothetical, Boozy, you see.
It's a hypothetical asterisk.
I'm selling T-shirts in 1912, okay? Mass-producing T-shirts in my basement. It's very realistic.
For those furry conventions they held.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. So you're telling me that you had a bathtub of T-shirts, a bathtub of gin, a bathtub of scotch. Everything's going well in the life of Sandy.
I got bathtub weed. I got
bathtub
it all.
Bathtub weed.
You don't even want to know how that's made.
So, recently, I had an incident.
Uh-oh.
My buddy, his mother, was getting married for the second time. And they decided that it wasn't the time to hold a giant celebration. Maybe just something small with friends. You know, this is the second marriage. This will be wonderful. We all thought it was a great idea. And we all started offering up. Like, oh, hey, I know how to cook. Did you want me to throw a big picnic and I could barbecue? We could save a ton of money. They're like, no, we kind of do want to go to a place, but could you DJ? And I said, well, I'm white. No, but we have friends. We have a lot of friends. So we got somebody who actually had taste in music who's not me to DJ. So in the back of my car, we brought the first squared sound setup. enough speakers to blow the roof off 90% of the buildings that we would enter. And the venue was not pleased. So we pack up the car and we go out there. And my last thought is, oh, I should bring some booze and some weed. Because when I travel properly. So I grabbed a box of booze and a bottle, just a little pill bottle that I rolled three joints in, put them in. Well, it was an outstanding wedding. It was absolutely amazing. There was no need for weed. I offered to people, but, you know, when the bride tells you, don't do that, you go, understood, and you start drinking heavily. Well, the night goes on. It's actually a very fun time. We've got the music playing all night. We had a great time. My weed stays in the car. We drink a bunch of booze. The event ends. I go to the room. And finally, I wake up at about 2 in the morning. I've sobered up. You know how it goes. When the event's over, you don't want to stick around. It's time to go home.
Yeah.
The car is packed. Why would I buy? So, you know what? I'm awake. I'm going to get into my car. I'm going to go home. Well, I was awake. I get into the car. I start driving down in the middle of the night from northern Illinois back down to southern Chicago. And I'm on the highway trying to stay awake, doing the kindergarten thing. You know, can I stay between the lines? Not really, but at least the rumble strip is there. Thank God for that. I'm tired. I know I'm tired. I shouldn't be driving, but I can muscle through. I'm screwed. I get pulled over on the middle of 294 at 3 in the morning. No, I wasn't on 294. I was on 90. A empty highway in Illinois. And bear in mind, if you've ever been to a geographical feature, you know, any place that's not Illinois, hills, trees, no! Illinois is flat, and that is all you get. So I am in the middle of nowhere, next to nowhere, with wind blowing in from nowhere. It looks like there's a dust storm, but all it actually is sadness and coke just blowing across the highway. And the cop comes over to my car, knocks on the window. Sir, do you know I pulled you over? I was like, speeding's like, no, actually you were kind of swerving. I'm like, oh, I was out. I'm like, no, you weren't out of your lane. You were swerving. I wanted to make sure everything's right. Oh, I do apologize. I'm a little tired. I just came from a wedding. Oh, all this stuff in the backyard? Yeah, I helped DJ for a wedding. Oh, okay. Can I see your license and registration? Yeah, of course. And I lean over and open my glove compartment and out falls out a pill bottle. And I am not awake. So do I smoothly recover? Do I just grab what I need and I hand to him? No, what do? I go, fuck. He goes, sir, you want to tell me what that is? I'm caught. There's no reason. Like, well, sir, that is my weed. He's like, oh, may I see it? I'm like, yes, sir. And I hand him the pill bottle. He goes, all right, may I see your registrations and license? Like, yes, sir. And I hand it to him. Like, well, my life is over. I could be a clown somewhere. This'll be fun. I can start over. Start a new life as Gibbles, the crying maniac. And he walks away from my car. About 10 minutes later, he comes back. And through my window, he literally tosses. Like, there's no, he's done with me. Tosses my license, my registration, and a pill bottle across my face into the passenger seat. He goes, son, you were swerving. There is an off-ramp right there. I want you to pull off. I want you to go into a parking lot and rest until you are good to drive again. I'm like, sir, not a problem at all. Thank you so much. And I am thrilled. And I roll up the window, and I very cautiously pull back into traffic, and I pull off the highway, and I get to the parking lot. Oh, thank God. I am so stressed out. I just need to relax. So I reach for my pill bottle. I pop the lid off and take one of my two joints. I packed three joints. Son of a... And that is my favorite road trip.
Wow. Hey, you learned a bit about how the world works.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
What I love is the part in there where you confess to having weed in the car, you absolute dipshit.
I panicked!
What's it? Son, you want to tell me what's in the bottle? No. You know what? that has the benefit of not saying it's weed and still being truthful, because you don't want to tell him what's in the bottle.
Well, you weren't there to correct me.
Oh.
Hold on. What are you saying? Okay, you open your glove compartment and a pill bottle falls out on the ground and the guy goes, so what's in there? You're going to say, I don't know?
Yes.
Damn it. That was way better than what you think
it
is.
No clue. Never seen the bottle before,
officer. Could be a cat. The cat could be dead or alive.
Yeah. Is it marijuana? It might be. It might be Pez. I don't know because I've never seen that bottle before.
I just want to flip a switch on my car and have the Family Feud music. Top 10 answers on the board. Marijuana. Boom. One. It's number one, Boozy. It's number one. 97 people on number one. I don't even know how they had 10 answers. The math doesn't check out.
Maybe if you say it in a fun limerick way, you can get away with saying, I don't know. Like, who knows? Do we? Let's find out and see.
Yeah, congratulations. You've hacked the justice system. Poetry.
That's right.
Poetry is
That's
the
what
way.
Kids' movies taught me, okay? You do it good enough, and you're good.
In your job, I do not trust. Yes, this could be cannabis. I am merely heading home. Would you not leave me alone? I just wanted to continue this trip. Also, that rhymed with trip.
Lost it in the green middle. Eggs and ham, the dark version is going to get crazy.
The dark version of green eggs and ham is great.
Now I'm just imagining that. Like, son, you have murdered 19 people in cold blood and fornicated with their corpses. What do you have to say for yourself? Would you like a haiku, officer? Damn, our one weakness.
It's too beautiful.
Officer, I just will not lie. That son of a bitch just had to die. Let me go.
What do you think court is? Oh, hi.
I love our friends
anyway.
So much.
Is this a ritual?
Remember, everyone, it's mouth to banana, never banana to mouth.
Thank you for joining us from Monkey Communion.
Somehow I think that's not the first time Dragors had to say, that was my thumb, you fuck, when somebody bit down.
Take, eat, this is my banana. It costs 99 cents. You'd have slightly more potassium.
Slightly.
Please remember me.
God damn it, Dragon.
Oh, fuck. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
So, we've all been doing a lot. Oh, we've all been catching up on stuff in the last so-and-so time, whatever it has been.
So-and-so time.
Talking about this wonderful dusk night or whatever it is.
And what a beautiful night.
Beautiful, cool night.
I gotta say, I really appreciate how good our night vision has gotten, except for you that can't see crap anyway.
It's true. Your night vision's gotten better?
Yeah, well, I can catch, minute details. Like, there's an entire crew of cameramen flipping me off because somebody made them change the film time.
Your night vision's gotten a hell of a lot better than when you failed to see that cop who stole your weed.
I'm really not good at seeing cops. I'll be honest with you. I've been pulled over more times than I care to count and gotten away with it more times than that. The math checks out. Don't ask questions.
It's the tradition of the road. It's like, yo, there's a lot of traditions of the road, and the road, for people who are watching overseas, you have to understand American culture is built around the automobile.
Oh, yes.
That is how we have built our culture up. It is a form of freedom. It is a form of travel. It is, it's a form of mental health care, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, people are like, I've had a bad day. I'm just going to drive for 5 hours.
Yep.
And you
That's
see,
their thing.
Like, I come across people's political opinions when I drive all the time. Because the most American way to express your opinion on a subject is with a sticker on the back of your Ford F-150 with the rusted out panels.
Absolutely.
Like, not too long ago, I actually came across an opinion. It will surprise many of you to know that although I have children, I am still pro-choice because I have children.
Really, the bumper sticker is the original tweet of the road, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I saw a bumper sticker that I strongly disagreed with, but not because it did not support a woman's right to choose. I strongly believe in that. But because of how it phrased it. This bumper sticker read, "You can't be Catholic and pro-abortion. And it bothered me because Khan is being stridently against something. The opposite of Khan is pro, meaning you are not only in favor of something, you are promoting that thing. You are trying to get people to agree with you. And it got me thinking, is anybody really pro-abortion? Pro-choice, yes, but is anybody out there like walking door to door in a fucking delivery ward with a coat hanger and a shop vac wearing a raincoat, kicking in doors? Ma'am, have you considered all the options? And I don't like to get political, which is a fucking lie. If you know who I am, you've read my Twitter. This is 90% of what I fucking do.
Oh my God, I can't stop picturing
him. Are you sure?
But I sit here and I say all the time on the subject, I am a cis white male. I am never going to get pregnant. I will never have to make the emotional and mental and financial decision on whether or not I should be carrying a child to term and whether or not I can support that child. And as a cis white male with no personal investment, Congress has taught me one thing. My opinion on this issue is more important than yours.
God damn it. Oh my God.
Like the GOP pisses me off. Just like, we're pro-life, we're pro-life, we're pro-life. And then they abandon the kid. Like, oh, well, that kid's born into poverty and needs support. Fuck it. Not our problem. No social safety net. You're not pro-life, you're pro-birth. Okay? You don't care what happens to the kid afterwards. You're not pro-life. You are essentially standing in the delivery room with a catcher's mitt in one hand and a ball bat in the other and going, okay, push, push, push. It's a boy! Whack!
Boozy?
And the way that they present it, like people are right. If we let them get abortions, if we fund it with government money, they'll all just run out and get one. They're all gonna just run out and get one. Do they think there's like a punch card? Do they think if you get 10, you get something for free? In the minds of these people, is there someone out there going, we're financially stable and want to raise this child, but one more and I get a free Jimmy John's?
Oh boy. You know, you made someone's run very interesting. I'm just going to say that. I just love
we just
that
made somebody's jog very and yeah, I don't know if you can see it.
There was a jogger.
Somebody came around the corner, heard what he said, noped out and went back the other direction, and then about a moment later kind of stuck their head back around the corner. So yeah, you made that guy's day.
What happened on your night run?
What's he doing running in the middle of the night anyway?
And I want to be very clear. You're free to have opinions about anything you want in life, but your opinions can be shit, and we can tell you your opinions are shit. And because what started all this was a grammatical issue, pro-abortion, I will throw a bone to you people out there who think opposite and therefore are wrong. We're not great with the naming either. One of the largest providers of that service in the United States is named Planned Parenthood, and in my experience, if you're using it, it's not planned.
Aww.
Maybe we should just change the name. Maybe that abortion sounds clinical. Maybe if we change the name to Oopsie Fucks, we're good.
Mr. Badger's opinions do not represent the position of Anthrocon Incorporated, its board of directors, or membership. Thank you very much.
I saw you clapping over
Boozy.
There.
Boozy, we can keep the... We can...
Make me kill you.
Boozy, we can keep the word back, wording in there still. What's the plan now, Parenthood? There you go.
What's the plan now?
I just think that'd be better, though. You know, I've got to go in and see a doctor. Why? I had an oopsie fuck.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that might be the most descriptive term. Yeah, I had an oopsie fuck. That's...
And they decide to keep it. It's like, why is my name oopsie fuck? Is that what's going to happen?
sometimes people ask me, have you ever told a joke that you thought would get you in trouble? I said, well, I'm part of Three-Headed Monster.
Hey-o. Let's keep going. We all caught up on a lot of stupid media in the past, especially the past year. And I got to watch a lot of series and movies that I have been putting on for off forever. And I finally got to getting around to watching Whiplash. And I had not, because, like, people are like, oh, you got to see this movie. And, like, I looked at the description and I watched the trailer. Whenever I watched the trailer, it just looked like a music teacher beating his kids to greatness. And I'm like, I've already seen that movie. It's called The Jackson 5. I mean, I saw the real thing happen. I don't need to see this movie. It's completely unnecessary. And it's like, I finally see the movie. I'm like, oh, it's beautifully shot. It's got great stuff. And it's just like a really pretty torture porn, really. Because, like, I'm watching this. It's like, it's basically like, what if Mr. Miyagi was an asshole? That's what this movie is. Like, what if Daniel-san was just doing a crane kick and he fucked up and Mr. Miyagi tossed a cymbal at his head? That's what, and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not supposed to make any sense. You have to think about it. That's why it's called symbolism, okay?
Symbolism!
Oh, my God!
Oh, that was good.
There you go. See, you're the dads, and I did the dad joke, so go figure.
Yeah, but dude, Reed Werther's original. You're enough of a dad.
I am so angry at you.
Yeah.
That just pissed me off. That made me amazingly angry. I want to call your mother and ask why she didn't have an oopsie fuck.
Holy shit. Wow. So, like, but that's the thing. It's like, I want to see those Olympic training, because I've seen Olympic training documentaries, and they're never like, oh, yeah, we got up on the rings, and we told it was Jorge's birthday, and they just told him, it's a piñata, and they just went to town, you know? Like, he didn't come out of that with swollen balls like, I am a better gymnast. You know, that's not how that happens.
Well, like, ever since we saw the movie, I've I used to play Nero live-action role-playing, so I have all my old Nero weapons still. I have soft, squishy frisbees that I used to use as throwing frisbees. So every once in a while, they'll do something, I'll just be like, that's wrong, symbol, and I'll throw one at them. And no matter how angry they are at me, they have to stop because it's that ridiculous.
Yeah.
The end of that movie angered me more because I'm sitting there waiting. And by the way, spoilers are, we spoiled the movie. The ending is horrible. We're sitting there like, oh my God, here comes the end. Does he have a gun? Are we about to see something horrific? And it was like, oh, I learned something. Fade to black. And in unison, I was like, no, burn the TV. That movie was wrong.
That'd be like at the end of the new Joker movie, if Joker like hugged De Niro like, you're right, everything's cool, yay! And we danced off the stage. Like, what just happened?
We're off to see the
capitalism. You know who the audience for that movie is? Parents whose kids don't talk to them anymore.
That is exactly.
You just defined a whole generation, Boozy. Jesus. That's why it made so much money.
Oh my God.
Anyway. We talk about happy things here on Three-Headed Monster.
Yeah, we're the happiest group.
We're the happiest group on this nice night.
All comedians are happy. All comedians are happy.
All comedians are not.
All comedians are
We happy. Are the darkest group of people on the face of the... Like, there are people out there, they're like, oh, comedians. Well, you're funny, so you're joyful. We're like, no, we're funny because we hate ourselves. We get... we think... fucked up thoughts. We get off stage and you're like, oh, they're gotta go party with their friends in the green. We're like, we're gonna say goodnight, go home and cry in the shower for 3 hours. Like, a good example of a comedian and our mental health level is, like, comedians will sit there and practice their tight five, which is a 5-minute bit, in front of the mirror, right? And it's just like doing it in an open mic, except instead of a microphone, it's the muzzle of a 357. And you got one bullet, and you're like, if the demons in my head don't laugh, I'm spinning the cylinder and taking a chance. It's not a good thing.
Look, it's a really cute and useful coping mechanism, you know? It does come in handy.
And part of that is because in comedy, you take a fucked up situation and you try to make it funny. And especially with those of us who do, like, darker stuff. And not, like, edgy dark, think about it. No, but, like, darker, like, you're in a situation. There's always this little voice in the back of your head in a fucked up situation that's, like, making a joke, right? Like, yesterday, I was going to breakfast with somebody. I saw a man get hit by a car. And after we ran over to help, I came back and I'm like, I heard the guy's name. I'm going to follow him on Twitter now.
Oh, my God.
And now I started telling him, I'm like, go follow this guy on Twitter, but wait like a week. Why? He got hit by a car, and I think it'd be hilarious if a bunch of furries started following him.
Isn't that how you became a furry?
And that, hold on, the best part is last night, my friend's like, hey, do you want to go to breakfast with me in the morning? And I stopped and I looked at him and I said, no, because the last time we did that, a man almost died. And then we all laughed.
Uzi, to be fair, if you had kept up with the group, you would have not seen the accident, so.
You've got a point.
Me, Pep, and their parents, yeah, and you're like, oh, shit, this is what I get.
It's not a pass. The fact I've been hit by a car does not give me a pass to make fun of other people who have been hit by a car. That's not how
that's
it works.
That's how it works,
dude. That works to parents.
Look, you have shitty parents, you get to make fun of your parents. You're gay, you get to be, you got hit by a car. Make fun away, friend.
I mean, we have to be careful with that, though, because in those situations, when you have that little voice, like, it'll pop up, and it's like, here's the joke about that. And you're like, oh, I can't say that to anyone. I'm going to go to hell just for thinking about it. And the problem is as a comedian, you sit there, and you see those situations, and you're like, I shouldn't say that. And then you're like, but it's a really good line. So how can I say it in a way that won't be, like, hurting people? And you think about that, and you work on it, and then you come up with a whole routine on how you can do that. Like, and you know it's sending you to hell, and that's part of it. Just because that's part of it, because the key is to make people feel just a little naughty without pushing them over into the fucking line where they're walking around with a MAGA 2020 flag. You gotta walk the line, man!
Walk the line.
It's okay to be like, ha, 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 oh, that was bad. But not, ha, 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 oh, that was true. That's a problem.
It's not like, yeah. It's like, yeah, that's what you're looking for. It really does.
The views expressed here do not represent, oh, fuck it.
It's okay. It's nighttime. No one cares.
Yeah, no. What happens after dark, it's fine.
Totally.
Let me give you the perfect example of the constant struggle between being a socially appropriate person and being a comedian. Have you ever been to the Holocaust Museum?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know where you think this is going, and it's not going there.
Oh, my God.
You're a bad person.
What happened?
I understand what you got used to for like a decade, but no.
Three-headed monster sits will be submitted in writing before performing from this point forward.
The Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. is an incredibly moving experience. It really is. Members of my family fled from that. Members of my spouse's family fled from that. You go and you walk in and you get a passbook and it gives you the name and the profile of a person. And you're walking to the museum, and you see these heart-wrenching sights. You start at the top, you work your way to the bottom. You are going through the slide of a country into anti-Semitism and fascism and militarism and genocide. And you walk past exhibits that rip your heart out. And you leave at the end. You turn to the passbook. You see whether the person they gave you lived or died. And the way you do it is there's a wall of names. And you walk out and you're contemplative and you are dedicated to the idea that that can never happen again. And you've got tears falling from your eyes and you turn towards the exit and that's when you see the gift shop. Because the Holocaust Museum has a gift shop. I know that the phrase is never forget, but I don't think they meant buy a fun keychain with your name on it to remember. And the moment I saw it, that little voice in the back of my head spoke up and said, hey, Boozy, and I went, no, no. And I kept that voice quiet. I kept it quiet as we went to the gift shop. I kept it quiet when we walked past the ashtrays. I kept it quiet when we went past the model train set. And I know that the good book says you will face many trials, stress, and tribulations. But fuck me, I was not ready for the Anne Frank hide-and-seek playset.
God damn it, Boozy.
See, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about, is every comedian in the back of their head has that little voice that makes it clear they're going to hell. But what wasn't that joke? That joke was not about the Holocaust. It was not about anti-Semitism. It was not about fascism. It was about the fact the Holocaust Museum, an amazingly emotional experience, has a fucking gift shop. And that's how you do edgy or dark comedy, and follow the rules. Because what are the rules? One, you don't punch down, you punch up. You don't make fun of the oppressed. You don't make fun of people who are suffering, things like that. You make fun of greater ideas, like a capitalistic enterprise of a gift shop in a memorial museum for one of the worst events of human history. That's what you make fun of. You punch up. Two, you leave the audience thinking. You don't want them to go, ha, 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 that's true. You want them to go, ha, 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 oh.
That is the best reaction.
Afternoon.
You want them, after they get their jollies, to go home and be like, oh my God, yeah, that was a good commentary on it. And three, and before I tell you three, I gotta tell you something else. The Holocaust Museum has a gift shop, but it doesn't have keychains or ashtrays or hide-and-seek play sets. It has a large collection of wonderful literature by scholars who come in and do talks that walk you through everything that led to that. It's a very tasteful, academic, scholarly experience that is amazingly respectful. So what is rule three? Never let the truth get in the way of a good bit.
There you go.
God damn it. I have to know, Boozy, did they have a Thomas the Trank Engine?
Oh my God.
See? Don't let reality get in the way of a good bit. There's no way that could happen.
Well, sometimes it's not reality that you don't want getting in the way. Sometimes it's the bit itself. There are some bits I regret. Kale. Kale is a really great example. I have gotten so many pieces of kale memorabilia, yes, due to that moment that I am so done with not only kale, salads and vegetables in general. I am fat because of my stand-up. Now, if I remember correctly, recently, yes, you had a bit
that
you are slightly regretting due to the paraphernalia you have received from it.
Oh, totally, totally recently had a bit. I did this years and years ago, and I've been sent weird things ever since.
Close enough.
So, if you're not familiar, I did a Furby bit a long time ago at Anthrocon. I don't remember the year of it. It was either Close Up the Bit. And ever since, it's about how Furby basically ruined Christmas, and I'm not going to recite it for you, but it was a good bit.
It was.
And people liked it, and you know what? You really got to think things through. Am I willing to deal with this thing for the rest of my life? If you do any kind of comedy about any kind of subject, you have to face that harsh reality or that, like, that possibility. You know what I'm saying? Boozy? You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
So bagels. What happened?
Yeah. So, yeah. So I get things sending me like the human Furby peed. Like I thought Furby's.
Well,
human Furby peed? Did not show me the human Furby peed.
They can Google Furby peed if they want, or DuckDuckGo, or whatever they want.
One moment, you keep talking.
Jeez. But I just thought the Furbies were already, you know, horrifying enough. Little did I know that you can always expand upon that and just push the bill. And I understand how they refresh and keep horror movies fresh. It makes sense now. They do the same thing with Furby, and they're going to do it again. I think they made them smarter for it. They brought them back for Christmas. Next is AI Furby.
It's gone now.
Next is AI Furby. It's going to know stuff about you. It's going to hook into Amazon Alexa, and it's going to be terrifying. Get ready, kids.
Why haven't we combined those yet? They're the same product, only one is slightly less annoying and older.
Furby, now with invading your home privacy. A Furby for the new generation. You were saying bagels, Boozy. What have you been sent in the bagel form?
I get sent anything regarding bagels.
And gritty.
The good thing is once I realized it was getting traction as that bit, I went back in and started making horrifying photoshops of bagels with eyes and a mouth and posted it to make sure that nobody could ever top what I was doing to myself with it.
Brilliant. Brilliant. No, I could not top the biggest piece of memorabilia, not only because of what it was, but because of who it was from. The most insane piece of kale comedy that I received, besides the obvious what Pandez did, the actual setting up of the kale roti, that was beyond
genius.
Oh,
that was amazing.
My hotel, the Fur Squared Hotel, in the middle of the super sponsor's dinner, wheeled in a nativity scene made entirely of kale. Handmade. This was the most glorious salad you have ever seen. And she looked at me and goes, funny, huh? I don't get it. Like, hold on. What just, somebody told them to make this and that it would be funny, and my hotel said, fine. The dedication to comedy without understanding it is the pinnacle of every hotel that hosts a furry convention. Like, that sounds great. We turn around, I have no idea what's going on.
Oh.
It is actually really fun. Year after year, them learning more and more, because you don't know. You don't know. I've been dealing with hotels for quite some time, and not just with furry cons. I've helped out an anime con. I helped out at like a general convention that was more of like a giant dealer's den. And you go to the hotel and you have to explain it. This is what we'll be doing. Years ago, I gave up explaining furry. I'm just like, we're going to come in. It's going to be like an anime con, but nicer, cleaner, friendlier, and fuzzier. And they never ask about the fourth one. They're always interested in the cleaning one, which I forgot what number it was. It is truly wonderful to watch their understanding grow year after year, because the first year they're like, oh, you need some space and there will be people wandering around, wonderful, go. And the second you're like, oh, you need some space and there'll be people wandering around and we need to buy more vacuums, go. And the third year they're like, oh, cheaper booze in the bar, more vacuums, possibly some kind of a wind tunnel, ice hallways, let's do that for you, go. By the fourth year they're like, you own us. We love you, but we don't understand you, and that's okay. Here is our building. Enjoy.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Well, we're finishing up here.
We are sure.
And I did want to bring up something that happened, and I wasn't going to tell the story, ever. Oh. Ever, because like my friend here said before, you don't punch down, and I do not like punching down. But then it turned out the person I was punching down to turned out to be a horrible person, so screw that.
Here we go.
Is this the one who punched down so hard he hit himself in the balls and ended up unemployed?
That's a good way to put it.
That's a very good way to put it. Years ago, I was at a convention, and the charity at this convention had a large facility where they were taking in
animals that did not have a place to go. Not just normal animals, exotic animals. You know, people that buy a lizard and it's an alligator, and then once it starts eating their kids, they're like, all right, let's put it in the sewer where it belongs. So that's what these people did, and it was outstanding. What a wonderful idea. And I invited them back up to the room to have a drink with us, and that's where I found out that she was an ex-porn star. And this was her retirement, and how wonderful of a thing to spend your money on. So they retired, and they opened this animal facility, and she's talking to me about, we would really love to have you guys come out and see the facility. I'm like, that would be a wonderful idea. We love that you're a charity for FurCon. We have other FurCons. You know, you should come to us, hang out a little bit. She goes, well, if you're interested, we could just throw a concert. And I'm like, what? We could just turn our whole facility into a place to throw a concert. And you, tall top hat idiot, you can MC. And I was drunk, so I said, meh, which apparently meant okay. A few months later, we have planned a small concert at this venue. And she calls me and says, would you guys come out a day early? Our guest of honor is going to be being taken around, where were we, Champagne?
Yes.
We were in Champagne. We're going to be going around Champagne. They actually have a comedy routine to do. We would love for you guys to come around with them. So like, oh, really? Like, wow, who's the guest? Ron Jeremy? Wait a minute. What? Yeah, Ron Jeremy's going to be there. It'll be great. I'm like,
you know, famous comedian Ron Jeremy.
Famous, that's exactly what we thought. Like, I didn't do it. What happened to him that he's doing stand-up? Did he get castrated? All right.
He lost after the demons in his head stopped laughing. He hit one of the empty cylinders.
Dead. So we head to Champagne. We arrive at the hotel, walk into the lobby, and there, at the bar, is Ron fucking Jeremy just hanging out with this wormy guy next to him in a fedora and old man bottle cap glasses. I later find out this person had nothing to do with anyone. He was some guy who had a show that failed on Hulu before Hulu was a thing. Saw Ron Jeremy's like, I'm going to get on his good side, and hung out with us for a night.
Yeah, he was like, I'm Scott Baio's friend. I was on his show, literally.
Hit your wagon to that fallen star, buddy. Ride it into the earth.
It was unreal. So now it's time. We all need to get into the limo and go to the comedy club. And we go in there, and it's Ron Jeremy, the person who runs the animal facility, myself, Zanny, a few other people, their producer, and his backup dancers. Four of the most uncomfortable women you have ever seen in your life. They are sitting in this limo, tight as possibly could be, like sweat pouring from their faces. And I found out later that was very important. I'm watching this wormy guy take a cigar from Ron Jeremy, butchering it in the back of the limo and filling it with the smallest amount of weed you could possibly put into a blunt. Like, turned a cigar into a joint. There's no way that you could even taste the weed in there. So that was an interesting experience. We get to the comedy venue, and they usher us in. And that's where I find out the producer has backup dancers, because he's a rapper, and he is opening for Ron Jeremy. I'm like, you have a rapper opening for a porn star who's going to tell jokes. So we got drunk.
Yes, we did.
We go up into the balcony. We're standing up there, and we are excited. Like, I cannot wait to see this train wreck. This is going to be Thomas the Trank Engine. People are walking into this bar where there are no tables. There is a stage. Yeah. There is a bar. There is an open floor, and there is a blood stain. I didn't need to mention that earlier because it was there, and the reaction to everyone was blood stain. No one cared. No one. I'm like, yes. Greatest show ever. Here we go. He's going to go up there and rap. The gentleman walks up onto stage and starts with the most generic rap. Actually started with the line, my name is and I'm here to say. That's his first line. And this one over here is losing like, yes!
Because they start dancing, the backup dancers. They're go.
The backup dancers are
the best.
Immaculate.
They are better than him, 100%.
They're not better than him. They're not good.
They are great. Four women who are dancing in perfect unison to the beat of the song, but he's screwing up the lyrics. He's just gone. And that's when we realized why they were sweating so much in the car. Because in the limo, they had on the suits that they were to wear for the first song, a four-minute song. They have long slacks on. They all have, like, sweater, but they have shirts. Well, after the first song, part of the dance, they strip off the first layer, and now they're wearing shorts and a shorter shirt. And after that song, they slip four layers of clothing they had to wear, and we had been together for 4 hours. They were four layers deep in clothing for 4 hours, and this is my favorite. They are finally, now they actually look happy because they're not wearing, I don't know, parkas. So it's over, and now here it is. Ron Jeremy is going to do stand-up. His closing act was that he stole a bar of soap from the hotel that we were staying in, took it out of his pocket, threw it onto the stage, and went dating in prison and received a giant round of applause. And that's when we knew comedy was dead.
That joke is way funnier now.
That joke is way funnier now. Well, it's over. We spend the rest of the night. We go out to a dinner. It's fine. We go back. We have the event. The event goes off. It's fine. It's great. It's done. And as we're packing up to leave, the woman who owns the facility comes to me. He's like, "You have done so much for us today, but I have a favor. You see, Ronnie," that's what she called him, Ronnie. Cute, isn't it? Ronnie was going to go over to his all-adult nude campsite that's only 20 miles from here. I'm like, Indiana's a weird state. Continue. He goes, "Well, apparently his trailer burned down last night." Like, wait a minute.
Holy shit.
Randomly last night, like, yep, had a trailer burned down last night. When did he tell him he was coming? Last night. I'm sensing a correlation. Understood. What do you need? "Well, we got him a flight out of Chicago tomorrow. Would you take him back with you?" And I said, "No." And all of our friends behind us were like, "Maybe, because this is still funny." And in the end, we did bring him back. And the one thing that I will never forget is a drunk Ron Jeremy in my garage, passed out, spilling cheese balls all over the floor, waking up and saying, "I'll help with that." And then like a hockey champ, just going, meh, 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 throwing cheese balls everywhere, forgetting my name and wandering away. We found him and got him to the airport, but that was my first and last impression of that man. There's so much more to that story. I think that's a good place to
go. That's
good
enough.
I want to thank my co-host, Dude Boozy. Unbelievable, everyone. This is Boozy Badger.
I'm Boozy Badger. Unless you didn't like or were offended by anything I said tonight, then my name is Alkali Bismuth.
Oh, my God.
Zanny the Blue, the creator of the Dragon Show, the second head of the three-headed monster.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
My name is Alkali. If you didn't like what he or I said, we are both Uncle Kage. Thank you very much. Enjoy the convention. Thank you to AV. Thank you to everyone who helped this weekend. Good night.
Have a good night. It's night.